Let's put a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today are two sisterly returning guests. It's the Gismondi sisters, Lauren Gismondi and Gabby Gismondi, everyone. Woo!
We made it.
We're here. Sort of.
How are you? Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good? Okay.
We're good.
This is an audio medium, everyone. We need to say things.
We know that, but I just don't want us to be talking over each other. So I was going to let Gabby go first.
Oh. Okay. Okay. We're here. I hate this. We're here today to talk about the Seventh Heaven musical episode titled Red Sox. It's season 9, episode 15. It was written by Martha Plimpton, of all people. She's got some splaining to do. Directed by Michael Beachy? I don't care. It premiered on February 14th, 2005. And according to IMDb, the cast shows their singing skills as they express their feelings about Valentine's Day. Simon starts dating another gal. The twins celebrate their birthday. So I'm well aware that this is not Valentine's Day. So happy un-Valentine's Day, everyone. Why?
That, I think, is a question I want to ask you. Why?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you why also. Like, there's just puzzle. That was
this?
It was. Yeah. Yes. It's very out there.
I didn't get this.
Well, I didn't either. Gabby, this was your fault.
No, it wasn't.
Wait, what? How did this happen?
Don't look at me. I didn't bring this up. My last contribution was SpongeBob. I don't know about this Seventh Heaven business.
Who brought this up? That's what I wanted to know. I'm kind of happy, though, that it's the two of you that are doing this, because what a piece of garbage this episode was.
No kidding.
Honestly, the reason I thought it was Gabrielle, because Gabby had started watching the series from the beginning.
Not me.
I just figured, maybe you saw it and you must have said
something. No, I did not.
Oh,
I rewatched it for the sake of rewatching it for this episode.
Okay, so I know I used to watch Seventh Heaven, but after a while we fell off of it. And I think it was when they had the twins.
Mm.
I can't remember.
Sure. I stopped watching it when the two older siblings were no longer on the show.
Yeah, you had it on all the time, Lauren, when we were at home. Well,
yeah,
the beginning.
I liked it the first few seasons, and there were a lot, they were dealing with a lot of really heavy issues.
Dark. Yeah, real issues.
Like, in a really positive way. I have to give them credit for that. And then after Matt and Jessica Biel's characters left, I was like, I don't care anymore.
Right, because they were
Lucy was in prison or whatever. I was like, this is now gone stupid.
Because the older characters were for millennials, really. Because they're the ones that, like, we were responding to, especially if we weren't their age, we were going to be their age at some point, so we were learning. And then they're the characters of, like, Simon and Ruthie, I didn't really care about. I hate Ruthie, to be totally honest.
Yeah.
I did start rewatching it, and the show is bonkers, to say the least. But this episode, my God, why? Why?
I don't know who at CW, or I guess at the time it might have been WB, actually, 2005. I don't know.
It was WB.
That was a good idea. I really don't know. I feel like they need to have a stern talking to almost 20 years later. We need to talk to somebody.
I mean, I don't I don't know, man. I can tell you though that this is way after the Buffy episode, so I guess they were trying to like emulate that, but like the Buffy episode is good. The Buffy musical episode is good. This one, like, you could tell none of them. Well, no, there was like three of them that were actual singers, but the rest of them, they're like, fine, I'll do a song.
Right.
Fine, I'll yeah, I like to say the pitches were just suggestions.
Fine, I will quote unquote sing Nice Work If You Can Get It and quote unquote dance. Or that. Like, oh my God. Speaking of Ruthie, like, what the fuck?
What, you didn't like the dancing baseball players?
That, so, okay, when, is that accentuate the positive?
I think yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I wrote down, it's still painful to watch, but at least my ears aren't bleeding.
Well, I thought that other guy, Vincent or whatever, she was dating him, that guy actually sounded half decent. I think there was controversy if that was his actual voice or not, or if somebody dubbed over him, I don't know. But he
whoever
sounded
it was. Hard. Was great.
Yeah.
I think Catherine Hicks, who plays the mom, has a semi-decent voice. And then there's Stephen Collins.
No comment.
No, the problem is you have to have a comment, Gabrielle. You can't get away with not having anything to say.
So, controversy aside, I will say that he also had a good voice. Now, that being said, I still think it's hilarious that he played a priest and then things came out about him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about those things or are we just going to let that lie?
So... He was found by New York City police to have done sexual abuse to minors. So
yeah, he was a pedophile. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. He's actually much closer to the character that he plays in real life. I mean, he is in real life. He's much closer to being Dennis and Dee's father in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because he's their actual biological father. Danny DeVito is, we find out over the series, spoiler alert for those who have never seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, we find out later that Danny DeVito is not actually their biological father, but it's Stephen Collins and he's an asshole in that show. It's great. But going back to this, so I'll start off by saying that when I saw the title Red Sox, I thought it had more to do with baseball than it had to do with the fact that there's this controversy about the stupid pair of Red Sox that the couple have within their relationship.
Okay, before we get to the arguments, let's talk.
Okay, fine,
I do want to break down the title some more, because I too thought it was kind of a reference to the Red Shoes, you know, that ballet movie where based off of the Hans Christian Andersen story about you put on the red shoes and you have to dance forever. I thought we were in some sort of fantasy dream thing, and yeah, that's where my brain was. Gabby, did you have like any going into the episode, what did you think this was going to be?
I honestly thought like it was like possibly a baseball reference myself, but that was, again, I had watched the show over 2 years ago and I didn't remember exactly what the plot line of this particular episode was. And I'm like, is this when they all go to like a baseball game together or something? And then I didn't realize if I had forgotten what exactly the premise of the episode was.
It's Valentine's Day. And I'm not sure how the show feels about it, because everyone's insane for Valentine's Day, but then they also are like, I don't like it. It's a stupid holiday. It's made up. Mm. And I'm like, pick one lane, please.
Mm.
Do you like it? Do you not like it? What's going on here?
Perhaps that's the issue with having so many characters, so many, you know, plot lines at that point in the series. Because, you know, I think they had 11 seasons, right? Or something. 11, it was double digits. Yeah. They're in the double digits. Yeah. This is season 9. So they've introduced all of these other characters over the years. So now you have all these different conflicting opinions. So yeah, it feels like a mess because frankly, it was written like a mess.
Well, it's also diving more into their, when they become adults and who's married and Lucy has a daughter and Ruthie's dating like 5 different guys at once and not liking any of them except the guy that lives in the house. Spoiler alert, sorry. Martin.
Try Martin.
And then there's Simon who's
stripping everything that moves.
Who's apparently a whore, and the mom tries to cock block him with the girl that he with his day old girlfriend.
Yes. She's a great mom. She really has her children's best interests at heart.
Where's that? Oh,
he
my God.
He had a few scares throughout the series. That's why.
Didn't he almost die at one point? Or I know in one season he was huffing paint and that was like the story of the episode.
Yes.
Simon got a lot of lessons. Let's put it that way. Throughout
lessons
the years.
And like oopsie pregnancies and things like that. Oops, sorry. Sorry to all the people who have never seen it.
Oh, nobody cares. I mean, there is that one guy. There is that one guy on TikTok that likes to talk about how insane the episodes are. And they are real. Like, this one is a prime example. Everyone's upset over nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like, oh, God. Okay. So, the character names. Eric, the dad, wants to surprise Annie with breakfast in bed. He hires their twins. Don't care about their names. And
Pip and Pop. We're going to call them Pip and Pop.
Pip and Pop.
Sam and David.
Pip and Pop to...
You want to know why that's funny, though, right? You know who Pip and Pop actually are.
I don't. No, I don't. I don't. Really
have you ever seen the television show Bear in the Big Blue House? Go.
No.
There are two purple otters on the program, and their names are Pip and Pop.
So Pip and Mary are trying to make breakfast for the mom, but the dad has to, like, whisk them away to school and leaves a mess and everything. And I'm just like, why does anybody care about it's a mess? It's a tag team. You're parenting, you know? Mm-hmm. One person is going to work and taking the kids to school, and the other one, I don't think she has a job, really.
She did for like a little while. She like was working in a school for like earlier on. Like she had like a part-time job in Ruthie's school, but that didn't last very long.
It seems like though in this episode, she doesn't have a job besides being a busybody mother.
Yes.
She gets so mad at him at Eric for not cleaning up and putting his goddamn red socks in the washer
with the whites,
with the white clothes. Mm-hmm.
And then she fucking throws the socks back in the washer with the whites and bleach. And I'm like, what are you doing, lady?
That's not how any of this works.
But then the socks magically turn white, but not the clothes. And I'm like, what is happening? Why do I... And then Lucy, which God bless Beverly Mitchell for being like, I'm not a singer. No. Because I feel like she's like one of two people who are like, no, I am not singing. I don't care.
Yeah.
But she's also off her rocker. In this episode.
I mean, she's postpartum. Yeah, that's no. True. She's kind of bonkers the whole series. That's
she's,
true.
She's nuts. Like, she's just totally, yeah. They wrote her to be totally crazy.
And then we have fucking Ruthie being so mean to how many boyfriends does she have at one time? 5, you said? Boyfriend number 3, I guess?
It was like number 3, yeah.
Yeah. by being like, you didn't call me in 3 days. I called you last. And I was like, lady, it's 2005. Who cares? You call whoever.
Yeah.
Plus, you're going to see him in school. Don't be like this. No. I know,
but
this
they were both like that, though. He was ignoring her on purpose, too. Yeah, they were, exactly. They were at a stalemate.
I mean, yeah. He has a good point, though, where he's like, you didn't call me. So I'm like, I see his point more than I see her point, where it's like, if she wanted to talk to him, she could call him. Duh. I can't. This episode. I'm so happy that none of us remember who suggested this.
Definitely, but it was not me.
I looked at the emails I sent you, and I never once brought this up.
Neither. I was scrolling through the text from Facebook Messenger, and there's nothing in there either.
I can't remember who made. I'm sorry if it was me then, but
it must have been. Had to be.
Fine, we'll put the blame on me. I don't honestly remember.
I suppose it doesn't much matter now because we all sat through it, right?
Yeah. I also, okay, so Lauren and Gabby, what? Both of you are very much into musicals and understand like the rules of thing. This though, I don't feel like had any sort of rhyme or reason for the songs.
I tried to understand what if there was any sort of a pattern at all in any of this, and there was absolutely nothing I could say. Oh, this makes sense.
The only thing that could possibly make sense is all the songs are from roughly the same time period.
Maybe, yes, because of the
that
yes,
is maybe. It. Everything maybe. Is golden age. 1940s movie musical stuff
about love songs, except the man upstairs, which is Jesus.
Sure, yes, that's the only exception. That's my point. I'm like, it's if you're gonna try and string it together, it's really difficult to do.
Why like, I couldn't,
but like, I don't. I know none of you are going to answer this question because I don't think anybody here can, but I'm just like, why these songs? Out of the whole American Songbook, why these ones? And why this story? Martha Plimpton, if you're listening, we've got a lot of questions for you. First of all, how dare you? Second of all, why? Just like having the twin boys sing like about the sexes and everything. I was just like, are we sure we want them singing this? Like they look like they're 7, maybe. I mean, I know they have no idea what they're singing.
They're just words strung together.
And that goes for everybody though, not just the twins. The little
No, that's yeah. Yeah. I don't know why this episode even happened. Like I don't get it. I don't have any justification for it.
I know
it's not like anybody's an amazing singer where we're like, we're going to really showcase something special. The storyline sucks. The dancing is not great. I guess the orchestrations are good.
Showcasing the awkwardness, that was for sure. Because I was awkward watching it the whole entire
time. Yeah, it made me uncomfortable. I agree.
It was awkward. It was very, like, made me like squirmy almost, as weird as that sounds. Like, I was like,
Because, like, Mackenzie Roseman, who plays Ruthie, like, in Nice Work, you can tell she is not comfortable dancing on camera.
Yeah. On specific counts.
George Stultz, who plays Kevin, which I believe is the guy that Lucy married?
Yes.
Yes.
Is doing his best William Shatner impression while singing, and I'm using air quotes when I say that.
Speaking on different pitches.
Like, really, Thomas Dekker, who plays Vincent, is the only one that I'm like, I think you can sing.
You might have sang in your school choir once or twice, yes.
Like, I feel like he would play a character, that douchey character that always carries a guitar and just sings on a college campus. We all know this person. And I feel like he would be successful at playing that character because, like, Accentuate the Positive, I don't know the song at all, but it felt like a crooner song. And I was like, okay, well, you got that vibe going. So I feel like you can sing.
Yeah. I believe Bing Crosby is the one who made it famous initially, if I'm remembering correctly. Gabrielle's favorite artist from Christmas.
What? Oh,
Bing Crosby. Gabrielle does a mean Bing Crosby impression. But
Oh.
And it is mean. It's delightful and it's mean.
Oh, no.
Come on, Gabby, do it. We're here. Let's do it. Do it now.
But like,
come on, run, dreaming.
Why not? At this rate, just keep.
Oh my god.
I mean, my ultimate question for this is like, why do a musical if no one can in the cast can sing?
No fucking idea who greenlit this episode.
Martha Plimpton.
No, but it had to be come from higher up than that. It had to come from up higher up in the WB. It must have.
Well, let's see. Well, Brenda Hampton is the creator, so let's blame her.
Yes, fuck you, Brenda.
Fuck off, Brenda. I feel
wherever
like
you are dead or alive. Who knows?
I feel like this is this was just a filler episode. If I'm going to be honest, like Gabby, you did you watch the whole series?
I did, but what ended up happening was at a certain point, I took like a 6-month hiatus after like season 7 because I had just. I needed a break, and then I ended up finishing it all the way to the end. This was like in 2021. I watched.
Okay, so a lot has happened since then. But like, do you remember if this was like pure filler? Like, it had no stakes really in the season as a whole.
Yeah, it really didn't do anything for the series at all, aside from just showcasing bad singing. Here's what you can't do. Let's show everybody where your weaknesses are. That's basically, it didn't really do anything.
Oh my God, if Cop Rock didn't destroy the TV musical, this one did for sure. And none of you have watched Cop Rock, so.
Interestingly enough, like, you know, almost 10 years later, like the same network produced Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Right.
So they did eventually. So I will say they did avenge themselves from this.
But I feel like at
from
least
this with, instance, anyway.
I feel like with at least Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, though, they went into it knowing it's a musical. They hired singers or people who can carry a tune. Mm-hmm. Not so much dancers. They had different levels of dance experience on that show. But like, they went into it. This episode, I mean. Like I said, the Buffy episode, ooh, that may have been on UPN, not on the on WB. I think that was on UPN, which WB owned as well. So there's the Buffy episode in 2001 that was like, yay, great, like maybe we can try it again. And then all these shows, a couple of shows tried and clearly did not succeed. I mean, this is also, I think, right after the Scrubs one.
Which is pretty successful, too.
That's also very successful.
Yes.
But, oh, hot garbage of an episode.
Yeah. It's, you know what it is? Is like, it could have worked, but because there wasn't really a strong enough through line, other than, I guess, the closest thing I could say is it's like, you know, we're looking at the different aspects of love, the good, the bad. Lust versus love, you know, heartache and all these other feelings that kind of, that, you know, I mean, really, if you hang around enough people on Valentine's Day, you're going to hear and see all of that. Mm-hmm. So I part of me wants to give them like a small bit of credit for like trying to get to what you know, different people feel about the same subject matter.
And at all phases of life, too. Like I said,
yeah, exactly.
Like starting from the parents, then going all the way down to Ruthie, who started the show at the age of like 6. Mm-hmm. And tracking her adolescence also.
True. She's in high school at this point.
Yeah. Yes.
Holy shit. She's also like 4 foot nothing. So seeing her with other teenagers, I was like, you still look like a child. So I'm having difficulty disassociating. But I thought of a way that we could potential that they could have potentially saved the episode.
Okay.
I mean, this is of course 2005 math, quick math. This is of course like 21 years after the fact. So let's from when the episode premiered. This
19. It's 2024, John.
I'm dumb. 19 years after the fact. How about if they were just dream sequences and they went like full, like if they're gonna do these songs or similar songs, do like all classic Hollywood, you know, like recreate the feather dress from Top Hat, or do like a whole and like have a whole black and white number, or you know, see if somebody is a tapper and have them tap dance or something. Like I feel like there was an idea here. It just failed miserably at every which way.
Well, I mean, IMDb did give it a 4.4 out of 10.
Wow, that's better than I would have given it.
That's what it said online.
Yeah. So according the featured review that there's three user reviews that are on here. They're all one out of 10. I don't know how it got 4.4. Oh, I guess these are people who actually wrote something. The titles are Truly Dreadful, So Cringy, and How Embarrassing.
Oh, God.
Well, we covered all that, did we not?
Yes, we did.
I feel like we did. I mean, true. Yeah. Yeah. And the show then went on for a few more seasons, it seems.
Yes, it did. Yes. This did not kill it.
Surprisingly.
No. I mean, they had, at the time, a massive loyal fan base because so much of the show was about how Christians deal with tough situations. And
was it cope? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think part of the reason, like, our parents let me watch it and then eventually Gabby watch it when we were younger was because, you know, at the time we were deeply invested in catechism. So it was kind of like, that was part of the reason. Like, you can watch the show where they talk about real stuff because, you know, the lead character is a priest.
No, Mom recently said about that. She's like, oh, I let Lauren watch the show because I thought it would teach her valuable life lessons in case I'm not around.
Yes, there you go. See? So there are enough people out there, probably just like our mother, who felt that way then, that kept the program going. I myself stopped watching it in 2003. So
it also is like a... So I looked up the first episode. It premiered before Buffy. But I think it also... when did Dawson's Creek start?
Well, that would have been late 90s too, wouldn't it? 96 or 97?
98. Yeah, so this Seventh Heaven is even before Dawson's Creek, which was, quote, I guess, risque at the time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Dawson's Creek gave us Felicity, so.
Right, and then, but like, there's a weird thing in the 90s where.
Yeah.
I don't know how much, and I know Lauren likes horror movies. Gabby, I don't know if you like horror movies, but if you watch horror movies from the 90s, there is all this Christian over and undertones happening in horror movies.
Like, yeah, it's like you're getting punched in the face with it.
So this show makes sense because it's Christian mania in the 90s before it blew up to what it is today. And at least we get this episode.
Problem is, I don't think we do get this episode. You know what I mean? It's like the gays weren't allowed to touch any of it. So, of course, it's going to be garbage.
That's what they're missing. That's you're right.
Where are the actual sinners?
You're so right. Martha Plimpton can only do so much. Y'all know who she is, yes? I'm not the only one that knows who this person is.
Why don't you educate the children who don't know, John?
So, Martha Plimpton was in a little-known movie called The Goonies in the 80s. She played the tall, blonde, short hair with the glasses. Her. Mm. She's had a healthy career since then. Most recently, she was on, what's the name of that show? Hold on, I'm trying to find it. I mean, I've done an episode with her, not with her. She was in Hello Again, the movie, which I've done. She was also in a version of Company. I haven't covered that yet. But she was in, what's the name of that goddamn show that happened? I'm never going to find it. She was in The Real O'Neills. That's it. As Eileen O'Neill.
I liked that show. That was a sweet show.
Yeah.
Shame it didn't last longer than a season.
I must have missed that era.
it literally had one season, Gabby. They didn't get renewed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was the mom, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Yes, she was. So she's been working since the 80s. I just love her from The Goonies and Hello Again, but that's just me. In Hello Again, for those of you who remember that, she played the senator.
You and I, I was on that episode with you.
No, that was Jason Kerr. I made you watch it once. And you
that was it. I didn't hate it. I was just irritated because of this. They didn't really talk about the source material. That's just me. That's just me being picky.
What's also fascinating, I'm on her IMDb page right now. Mm-hmm. This is her only writing credit, this episode of television.
Wait, really?
Yes.
She was traumatized, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean...
I would be traumatized after this, too.
I guess.
I'm never going to write again.
No. It's, wow.
I think it makes sense.
She did a job. I'll say that. I hope the check cleared. Let's put it that way.
Oh, boy. Well, it was the WB in 2005. I'm sure the check cleared.
It was a nice, nice, healthy check. But man, I'm sorry if I was the one that actually picked this to put it on YouTube and the world at large to talk about, to watch it.
Well,
Paramount Plus is going to see, I really hope that with this episode, Paramount Plus is going to see an uptick in views of this one episode.
Either that or people will be like, they watched it so we didn't have to.
I mean, there's
maybe
there's been so many lists that I was trying to figure out how to start this podcast and everything. I was like, okay, let's look at musical television shows and everything. And this one was on those lists, but it was always like the bottom of the barrel, where they're like, it was there. They did it.
It happened.
I feel like I've been seeing articles about it, calling it not only the worst episode of the show, but a worst episode of television. It's not good, guys. It's not even fun, campy. Like some of the other episodes, you watch it, and there's that guy on TikTok whose name I forget right now, who, like, you're just like, why are you creating all this drama out of nothing? Like, that happens in this episode, but, like, it's not fun. That's what it's missing.
Yeah. Everybody's deep in their feelings, and none of those feelings are joyous, except for like the 2 seconds that Simon's happy before his mom everything.
Yeah, and I feel like the moral of the episode is don't sleep with my man whore of a son. Like, Is that really the takeaway of this?
I guess.
Took up a big portion of it, that's for sure. It got its own dance number.
You know what I would say is that you need to communicate your feelings.
And then I almost...
That's the takeaway for me, anyway.
I almost flipped the table when what's-his-butt Kevin, who's a cop, question mark?
Yeah, he's a cop.
Yeah, has a conversation with his sergeant, something.
Yeah, his boss.
His boss, yeah. And the boss is chastising him for not celebrating Valentine's Day. And I was like, what is this? What's going on here? I don't, what the fuck?
He's like telling him to open the yellow pages at the time to buy her flowers, and he can't find flowers anywhere on Valentine's Day.
Oh, such a dummy. Such an attractive little dummy.
I know.
I mean, I think I did chuckle a little bit when he's like, why are you laughing at me on the phone when he is asking for roses? Like, what an idiot. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat? Did we miss anything? Question mark?
I like have to sit here and think about that for a second. Mm-hmm.
Lauren, you're more of like a classic Hollywood expert than myself and Gabby. I would be bold in saying that, right?
Yeah, that's fine. It's true.
Besides Nice Work If You Can Get It, have you heard of any of these other songs before?
What else is there? Love Is Soup in the Country, yes.
Or Gabby, have you heard these songs before?
Accent of the Positive, yes. Oh, sorry.
No, not other than Nice Work If You Can Get It, no.
Okay, because no. That's the only one that I know.
Mm-hmm. What else is there? So wait, there's Love Is Sweeping the Country, Accentuate the Positive.
You Are Meant
Nice Work
For Me.
That is from, wait, that's actually a really famous one. Oh, God. It's from a Gene Kelly movie. So yes, I know that one too.
Okay. Oh, is that from Singing in the Rain?
I think, Lauren? Maybe it is.
Yes. It's from Singing in the Rain.
Yeah, the You Were Meant For
Yes.
Me.
Singing in the Rain.
It's Singing in the Rain. I'm like, it's a Gene Kelly song.
He's singing it to I think Debbie Reynolds. Yes. Yes. Okay.
That's the one, though, that I also wrote down, because I believe that's the dad who sings that. And I was like,
yes.
Is he singing live?
Probably.
Like, I'm pretty sure they were all recorded. But I feel like this one, I was like, was he singing live? Because he can actually carry a tune. There's also... that's not the dad. The dad sang You
Kevin
Are My Lucky
sings
Star.
That song. Kevin, Lucy's husband, sings that song.
Kevin sings that song, and we're saying sing loosely here. that's why I didn't know it, because he's just like, you were meant for me. No, the dad sings You Are My Lucky Star.
Yes. That's another famous. These are all like actually kind of famous standards. Yeah.
No.
It's one of those things where if you weren't haunted by people like our father and my grandmother, you know, you wouldn't have, you know, if you didn't spend, you know, hours watching TCM with the two of them, you wouldn't.
I mean,
I blocked all those memories out.
Yeah.
So... I feel like it was also the nature of the episode where I just saw rage and hatred.
Yeah, and I think because nobody was actually singing the melodies, it's hard to detect. No, that's not even a lie. It's sort of like, you know, the first time I heard William Hung sing She Bangs, I'm like, what is, I do I know this song? And then you realize, like, oh crap, it's Ricky Martin. Oh, no, I know this song. It's just, again, right. Like I said, at the very top of this whole conversation, the pitches and the melody are just suggestions. Nobody took any of it seriously. That is why these rather famous songs from the 1940s, from these old Hollywood movie musicals, go completely unnoticed. I mean, Singing in the Fucking Rain, like, come on.
What should I do for the Instagram posts, everyone? I don't know. I don't want to include pictures of the episode. Should I find the clips of these and then just post? I think that's what I'm going to do. So future John, when you're editing this, please write this down, because you're going to forget. Trust me, you're going to forget it. All right, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we? I can't.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I'm going to start with sharps because I had a sharp. Mm-hmm. Ready? You ready for my sharp? My yes. sharp is for Happy the dog.
I was going to say that too.
I mean, once Happy showed up in the opening credits yes. with the little birthday hat and everything, I was just like, ah, fuck yes. Even though there's probably like the fifth dog that they're on at this point.
No, Happy had been on the show forever. It was always yeah. Happy as Happy.
Are we sure though?
Well, it's credited sure it's the same that way.
Exact- Are we sure it's the same exact dog, though?
It is credited that way, and I have no reason to believe otherwise at this point. Well, yes, you're right.
I mean, I do have to say what's interesting is that they actually had the twins in the show at the same time. Because I know, like, usually they cast twins so that, that they can get away with doing longer shoots with them, but they're playing one role. Hey, Michelle Tanner.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Cole and Dylan Sprouse early on before Sweet Life. But, right. I mean, I thought it was interesting that they actually had the twins in here. Did anyone have any sharps? Let's put it that way. Besides Happy the dog.
Gabby, did you have anything else other than the puppy?
Yeah, I did. I was going to say, still, out of all of the vocal work, I would still say that Vincent's voice was the at least decent in an episode that was mostly musical-based. Definitely. That's a reach. That's a reach for me. You took my happy sharp.
Hey, we can all sharp happy.
We all know animals are better than people sometimes.
You know what? One of the posts will be unhappy, and then the other one will be the clips from other movies and stuff. Lauren, do you have any sharps?
I actually have two. One of them is hold on. Everybody keep your bonnets on. Relax.
My bonnet has stayed on this whole episode. Thank you very much.
Good. I'm happy to know it. I'm glad you were able to say that for your listening humans.
Uh-huh, yes.
I appreciate that the anxiety that everybody was feeling about this made-up holiday was real. I will say that the stakes, even though they were ridiculous, at least that was readable and was clearly, I think, understood by the audience, namely me. So yay stakes. There were stakes. This was good. And you want to know what the other thing I liked is I knew eventually it would be over. I knew it was only going to be 45 minutes of my life that I was going to get, you know, it was less than an hour that I was going to lose out of this. So actually that is a sharp because I have sat through some things that are just as bad for longer periods of time. So I did know that eventually either it was going to end or I was going to die. Like, you know, there's your sharp. You're welcome.
I mean, this is a first time in a long time that I've had an episode where all of us are tortured, not just one party.
Or two, yeah.
No, I mean, like, not just the guests or myself, but, like, everyone's in on, like, no, this is bad.
Yes.
Okay.
Isn't it nice to be in an echo chamber? It's great.
So, flats. As much as the songs are good, I'm going to, like, outside of this, they're good. I'm going to flat the song selection because I don't understand why of it all. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Martha Plimpton was just listening to some TCM album and was like, oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good one. Let's plug it in. I also am flatting every character in this episode / show. And then my last flat is for Paramount Plus. So I don't pay extra, so I get commercials in it. And my flat is for Paramount Plus not lining up the commercials where the commercial breaks are. I mean, it was good when all of a sudden in the middle of a song they went to one of their commercial breaks, and I was like, oh, I can blot my ears because of all the blood and everything. But then it came back and I cried a little bit. So there's that. Gabby, you're next with your flats.
The whole episode. No.
Okay. Do you have specific ones, or you can flat the whole episode. I basically did.
I guess for me, I just think the point of the Red Sox, I guess, just kind of got lost on me a little bit. It was a little too out in space for me, I guess. Like, I felt like it was just a very odd premise for the episode. That's all.
It was because he was wearing red socks their first date.
He made
and
such
he
a big deal about
and...
these socks, and like she was obsessing over the socks, I guess. Like, it was just, I don't know. Like I said, it lost me a little.
Like, part of me also feels bad for the twins because their birthday is on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So, poor guys. Any other flats? Gabby.
Kevin King Kirk attempting to sing was pathetic.
Okay. Lauren. Go.
Yeah, sure. I would like to flat all the showrunners who had the opportunity to stop this madness and did not.
The one showrunner.
Whoever is in charge. Somebody, you know, I do believe, I'm like, I can't fault the actors because they are paid to be there, but it also, you know, it always, it's like you have to follow the chain of command. Somebody could have stopped this. Several people, frankly, along the way could have said, you know, we should pivot. And nobody did. They spent money to hire an orchestra to put these people in a recording studio and do all of this. And at that point, you know, they really could have listened and gone, you know, we don't have the technology to make these people sound better and we can't hire new singers. So maybe we should stop. Nobody thought that they should stop.
I mean, they took that one song from Singing in the Rain. So they should have taken inspiration from the movie Singing in the Rain. And just hired singing voices for them.
It really, really, at the end of the day, I cannot fault the actors as much as you know, they are the first people to get it, of course. And I say that because we just annihilated all of them, right? You know, and but there is a part of my brain, having been in that position before, where you're doing real crap musicals, real crap theater, and you sit there and you have to think to yourself, it really is just a job, and just kind of grin and just get through it. But of course, I will always wonder, I'm like, along the way, someone with more power than me could have put an end to all of this, ended everybody's misery, and they didn't. So they, the people that are above making things happen, the showrunners, executive producers, the people at WB had the opportunity to say, we're not airing this shit, we're going to destroy it, and they did it. You're welcome. That is my flat.
They've just done a whole 40 minutes on just happy.
Listen, I dog sit because I don't want to babysit children, okay? My feelings for animals are quite, I think, quite clear. I will teach kids, I will work with them, but you know, that's only for an hour at a time. And then I could go back to my dogs. None of my students listen to me on any of these podcasts. They don't know that. I mean, most of them have a pretty clear idea of how Miss Lauren feels. But...
You should go to them and be like, watch this episode. Don't be like this.
Yes, let me show you. Well, sometimes you do need to be shown a bad example. It does help.
I mean,
helps you differentiate at a young age.
I mean, God bless Beverly Mitchell or her agent or somebody for her to be like, no.
Yeah.
No, no. Even in the group that what's the group song? Love is Sweeping the Country.
Yeah.
She has zero lines in that.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody fucking sings in that song.
Yeah.
So God bless, you know what? I'm gonna sharp her and her agent.
Like, yep. Her manager, getting, whoever, you know.
Whoever got her out of singing. Cause I know Ruthie or Mackenzie was like, sure, I'll do it. Whatever. But like that one song, I felt bad for her because I was like, I see you trying your hardest, but part of you is not comfortable with everything. could have been a time issue. It could have been like, I'm forced to do this and fuck Beverly for getting out of it because I wish I got out of it now.
Yeah, something that maybe they thought would be fun and then it suddenly became not so fun anymore.
No, you could feel the awkward in that scene where she's in the high school, like trying to dance and she's just like kind of slowly, yeah, exactly. Just like kind of awkwardly moving her arms and it's just like, why did they even let this shit get on camera, like you said, Lauren?
And like, accentuate the positive. He is, like I said, he is a good singer. He is a decent singer. The choreography is meh.
Minimal.
But there's,
except for the baseball scene was the most choreography, I think.
That's the one, that is the baseball scene. That's the, part that, I'm like, you're on to something here. In this one song, you're on to something. If we did something like that with the others, I mean, you can kind of say that about The Man Upstairs because of the whole couples dancing around the fountain while the mom is like, don't have sex with my son, please. Thank you. And speaking of songs, would we add any of the songs to our life's playlist? I'm going to say no, because no.
Not these renditions.
Not these versions of it. No.
I have to differentiate in that regard because I actually really do love most of these songs for their original versions and for other covers that have come up over the years. But
the
no,
point these, of this question is for these.
This particular.
Rendition. Yeah.
Yeah. So no.
Gabby's like, I'm going to add all of them. I love all of them.
So when Gabby does her kickboxing exercises, she can listen to it and just get angry at things.
Actually, she's gonna put an iPad on whatever punching bag that she's using for her kickboxing lessons and put this episode on. And just be like, no. And then the dad's gonna come up. She's gonna be like, yeah. Well, Gismondi sisters, on that note, we did it. Somehow, we got through it. We're done. We did it. And if anybody wants a second chance this, I'm going to say no. Unless
you have
a
that
good,
kind of power now.
Unless you have a good argument, I'm going to say no. Unless it's Martha Plimpton herself. That is the only way I will second chance this. If Martha Plimpton is like, I've got answers for you. Other than that, no one else is doing it. Anyway, Lauren and Gabby, what do you have to plug or promote?
Gabby, you can go first.
I have another recital coming up April 13th in my studio with... We're going to be doing it at the library locally in Selden. There's going to be like 20 of us performing in a studio recital. So that's coming out the 13th of April.
Okay.
So will you be able to live stream it, Gabby? How can they see
you? Yes, we're going to be, I'm going to be posting the video the day after the 14th and I'll have the stream for that live after that.
But is there, like, can people get tickets or is this just for like a small friends and family event?
No, you could just let me know if you're interested. It's going to be at the Middle Country Library in Selden and I will save seats. There's no official tickets. I just have to put numbers in, amounts.
And how can people request these tickets from you?
You can message me on my Instagram handler. It's at G-A-B-S Gizmondi. Gabs Gizmondi.
Great. Lauren, what do you have?
John knows this, but for a long time, I've been workshopping this idea of a one-person show that is finally coming to fruition.
Yes!
I know, it's very exciting. I have enlisted two very close friends of mine to be my cohorts in chaos. So we're just going to start workshopping it, and we're going to start meeting with producers come the spring, because the three of us just decided, like, you know, we have stupid, ridiculous chemistry on stage, and so we're going to move in that direction. I'm also training at Second City, the Second City, which now has a hub in Brooklyn. So I'm hoping to start doing both improv musicals and improvised shows with them in the coming future.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all about just kind of just doing our own thing now because nothing matters and everything matters at the same time. So just gotta find happiness wherever it is, man.
Just Whew. like with this episode, nothing matters. And that's it.
Nothing matters. The point is, what is it from the whose line is it anyway?
And the points are made up and nothing matters.
Yes, exactly. Everything's made up and the points don't matter. Yes.
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 and if you have a line to Martha Plimpton and can get her to come on and do a second chance of this episode, I would die, but I would do it. I said I would do it, and that's the only way I'll do it. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com, or us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersongpod. Yeah. I got nothing else to ask for you, the listeners. And if you want to be part of next episode's conversation, well, we're going to be doing Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny.
Oh, that's so good, though.
I mean,
not fair. I've been robbed again.
Hi, lady. Do you want to go through your filmography of episodes?
No, I'm fine.
You have had so many.
I know, but then I had to do this one, and I feel like that just detracts.
We need to balance it out. They all can't be good. They all can't be great.
Fine, whatever. It's your show. We can do whatever you want.
Here it is. Gabby and Lauren, thank you so much. And again, I am so sorry, but content?
That's true. You know, the internet likes hate, and there was a lot of hate here. So this might be good for all of us. Who knows?
Questionable content.
Yay!
Everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, everyone. This is Lauren Gismondi, and I was recently featured on the Red Sox episode of Life's But a Song, the podcast. I am the one who gets to regretfully inform you that I, while probably in some sort of a drug-induced state, sent a long list of things, of different musical things that we could do on the podcast, and this was one of them. It's entirely my fault. This was almost 2 years ago, so I am to blame. I'm sorry, and you're welcome. Thank you.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.